start. Today we're doing playing around with gases. It's an investigation of the ideal gas law, which is called the ideal gas law because it applies for an ideal gas. The law is true, that is, for an ideal gas. The problem is that there's really no such thing as a truly ideal gas. But under a pretty wide range of normal circumstances, most real gases behave very, very close to what the ideal gas would do. And therefore, the ideal gas law will give you pretty high accuracy under most normal situations. What is that ideal gas law? This is something that you should have well memorized. PV equals NRT, right? P for pressure, V for volume, N for number of moles of the gas, and T for temperature. But it's absolute temperature, right? Not centigrade temperature. That's really important because you'll get a drastically incorrect answer if you use centigrade or any other non-absolute temperature. So that's the one that you should memorize. PV equals NRT, which includes four variables: pressure, volume, mole, number of moles, and temperature. And therefore, just simple algebra will allow you to solve this for any of the four variables, depending on which thing you want to know. And therefore, you have P equals NRT over V, V equals NRT over P, N equals PV over RT, and T equals PV over NR. Don't bother memorizing those four. Just simply use algebra based on this one thing that you memorize. It's no sense in memorizing all these if you know algebra, which you should by this point. Notice I said there's only four variables. R is not a variable, even though it's a letter. It's the universal gas constant, right? But as it says in the manual, you can actually derive the value of it if you wanted to, based on this equation. So if you solve it for R instead, it becomes R equals PV over NT. And if you insert standard conditions, STP conditions, then you can get a value for that. What are the standard conditions? No idea? So what is standard pressure? One atmosphere. What's standard temperature? Zero centigrade, which translates to 273.15 kelvins. That's standard temperature. What's the standard number of moles? One, exactly one mole. And what's the standard volume? Exactly 1 liter. So if you plug those numbers in for P, V, N, and T, you get R. But R is a constant, so R is always going to be the same every time you use the universal gas law. And there's two basic ways you can use this. Just as a one situation way of figuring out any one of these four variables, which is what we're doing today, basically. Or you can also use it in the situation in which a system undergoes a change. So you have an initial and a final volume, an initial and a final temperature, initial and final pressure, and initial and final number of moles. And because, so you would have P1 V1 equals N1 RT1, that would be the initial conditions. And then the final conditions would be P2 V2 equals N2 RT2. Right? And since R has to always be the same value, if you solve each of these for R, you have R, which is P1 V1 over N1 T1 equals the same thing it is over here, which is P2 V2 over N2, T2. So this is the basis for the different laws that you probably were taught, like Charles' law, Boyle's law, and so on. Just depends on what is actually changing in the situation. For instance, if the initial conditions is some chamber with some volume and some temperature and some pressure, some number of moles, and you don't add or subtract any gas, you keep the same amount of gas in there, so that would mean that N1 equals N2. And if it's the same container, then volume doesn't change either. But if you do change the temperature, then the only other variable that changes in that case is going to be the pressure, which is why when temperature goes up, pressure goes up, right? That's the basis for those laws, which I never remember which name goes with which law, but Charles, Boyle, and whatever else there are. It's all based on this universal gas law, though. So I don't know whether you've done this in lecture. How much have you covered about gases in lecture? Zero. So, but you know what a gas is, though, right? Okay. All right, well, then you... If you haven't covered it at all, then that gives you maximal opportunity to learn something today by actually doing this. Probably the hardest part today is that you're going to have to listen to a bunch of crinkling of plastic as these bottles expand and contract under vacuum and pressure. But it's really not all that difficult as far as the procedure. It's basically giving me a bottle, I'll take it back and fill it with any of three gases. It says that there's five possible unknowns, but two of them are kind of shut down at the moment, so there's only going to be three that I'm using. But it really is important for you, as soon as I give you your gas, to write down what the unknown number is so that I can check it correctly. Because the values that you get is going to depend on what gas I actually gave you, and it's not going to be the same for every group. Same order, that is. So definitely write down unknown number in the space provided in your report sheet. Other than that, I think it's pretty clear on how to follow the instructions. Make sure you do carefully get the masses of these, because we're measuring masses of gases, which you might expect is not very high. Therefore, you want very high resolution. You want a nice steady weight or mass as you measure it, and you want to get an average, because it actually won't be exactly the same probably when you put it on three different times. If it is, you can still compute an average, of course, but don't be surprised if it changes in that last digit. Alright, so that's basically it. Start out by getting a bottle, following instructions, letting it come to equilibrium and so on, and then when you're ready for me to give you an unknown, just let me know.